Psalms chapter 30 is where we're at tonight, and we're going to entitle this psalm, Morning into Dancing. Turning mourning, we might as well go ahead and put turning mourning. Not mourning as in, you know, morning and evening, but mourning means sorrow, sadness. Turning that into dancing, which is the idea of joy. You know, very joyful, elated. Certainly we at times need mourning turned to dancing, do we not? Sorrow into gladness. And you know, folks, the Lord's able to do that, and the Lord does that often throughout our lives. You're never ever promised in this life that there'll never be that we will never experience a time of mourning or sorrow. We do face those times, but during such times as that, the Lord's able to supply such sufficient grace as to turn that mourning into gladness, mourning into joy, mourning into dancing, as this particular psalm is the title that we're going to give to it. Now, the occasion, of course, this is a psalm of David. It seems it was written as a result of being healed from some sickness, because he mentions that. The reason how he knows, just look at verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. So he had been sick. He's mentioned in verse 3, he must have been bad sick, because verse 3 says, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. So evidently he had such a sickness that he thought was going to kill him. And it says that the Lord healed him. On down in the text, it says he put off sackcloth. Sackcloth was a sign of mourning and sorrow. He said he put off sackcloth and he girded me with gladness. So that's what this psalm is about. This is the occasion of this particular song of praise. David had been healed from some type of sickness, I believe. I think that's indicated in the text. But his mourning was turned to dancing. Okay? Well, let's go ahead and look at verse 1. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord. Now, the idea of that is he will exalt him. David is exalting the Lord. The idea of extol is to lift him up. And that's really what you want to do in a church service, is we want to lift him up. We want to exalt him. And Hollis mentioned something the other night whenever he was addressing the men. And he talked about how we talked about this even last Wednesday night, how God gets glory in nature. But he read a text out of the book of Ephesians that says, unto him be glory in the church. Jesus gets glory out of his church. And one of the purposes of his church here on earth, of course, we know it's to teach his truth and spread the gospel and minister his ordinances and teach his people. Elizabeth Baptist Church is, we're to bring glory, we're to lift him up. Amen. That's what we're supposed to, lift him up. And you preach the truths of his salvation by grace, that lifts him up, see. The Lord's Church is one of the distinguishing mark of the Lord's Church is salvation by grace. It means you earn it, nor do you deserve it. It's a gift that he bestows upon you, see. And that exalts who? It lifts him up. So that's what we must be about, and that's what David's doing here. He's lifting the Lord up in praise. And certainly that's what all of God's people need to do, and we must do. But many times, because of different situations we find ourselves in, we fail to lift him up like we should. Do you really think you lift him up like you should? I don't think any of us here tonight think we lift him up like we should. I'd like to lift him up a lot more. Feel shame sometimes whenever I think about this particular issue, don't you? I want to praise him more. Certainly often a lot of our time, a lot of our prayers should be spent in thanksgiving and praise of our King. So he's rejoicing. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord. Notice what else it says. Because what did he do? Thou hast what? You've lifted me up. If he lifted him up, what does that mean? Where does that mean he was? Means he was down. He was down, but guess who lifted him up? The Lord did. Can I ask you a question, if you think just for a little bit? Has the Lord ever lifted you up? Man, did he just do that one time? He does that constantly for his people, does he not? How many times can I look back over my life and see where my God has lifted me up? And the reason why he lifted me up is because I was down. And there's times that you get down. But as David says here, I'm going to lift you up, O God. I'm going to praise you. And one reason I'm going to praise you tonight is because you have lifted me up. It's one of the things that God does. So he does that a variety of ways. When we talked last week about the different ways he gives you strength, he lifts you up different ways. And it, mainly the same things we mentioned last week. He can lift you up as a result of coming to his house, can he not? Have you ever come into God's house down? Have you ever come to God's house before a kind of mourning and left God's house with gladness and being lifted up as a result of being around God's people and listening to God's word and singing the songs, just being lifted up from God's house? Sometimes people say, you know, I just don't feel like going. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I don't feel like going either. I really don't. And the couch feels good. You wore out and you just soon stay at the house, or you might not feel real good. You might be a little bit sick and tired and all these kinds of things. And I've come to church like that before. Boy, when I left, though, I felt a whole lot different than I come in. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up as a result of coming to God's house if you'll come. Sometimes, I believe, sometimes, you got to make yourself come. Sometimes I think you got to make yourself come. I believe if you just come when you felt like it, you just come half the time. I believe you just come half the time. So sometimes you got to come. Now, I'm not talking about dragging yourself out here sick either. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're sick, stay home. Okay? What I'm talking about, there's times mentally you just don't feel like it. You assume stay at the home. Is it you just feel a little bit tired and weary? Come on out. Make yourself come. And in many cases, the Lord will take the service and lift you up. Lifts you up many ways like that. Brother Hollis, this past Monday night, he had the privilege of the Lord using him to lift up a whole group of men. Amen. At one time. The men talked about that all week. I believe they said that was probably the finest message they've heard. I love it when they say that, like I don't preach nothing here. I'm telling you, it was awesome. It lifted up, and the Lord used him by giving words of encouragement. You can help lift people up. Kind word many times, an encouraging word will lift people up. Okay, so the Lord uses different means. But he's actually behind the scenes the one that does the lifting. He's the one that does the lifting. All right. And thou hast made my foes, thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Notice what it says on verse 2. O my Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou healed me. He called out to his God. He'd got sick in some fashion. And in prayer he went and asked the Lord to heal him. Are we right in doing that? Well, sure we are. And we should ask the church to pray. I don't know, it just feels good, comforting thought to think that your church is praying for you. You believe that? To know that they have your, to know people got your name on a list and they're praying over your name, looking at that name and lifting your name up to God, see. Is there something strengthening and comforting about that? So here he's saying, Lord, I cried to you. He poured out his heart to the Lord. And I tell you, when you're sick, that really pours a prayer out of you. It makes it help. I believe it comes more down from the very pits of the heart. Sometimes our prayer life gets to be just from the lips. But boy, I tell you, when there's sickness and things involved, boy, it really brings it out of you. It helps you be able to pray from your heart. So he's crying out to the Lord. And that's a privilege that all of God's people have, is to be able to cry out to him and ask him to heal him. Now notice what he said. He did heal him. That's why he's praising him. He raised him up. He said, Lord, you've brought me up. You brought up my soul from the grave, and you've kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Now the word pit there is not talking about hell. It's talking about the grave. He thought he was going to die from it. Thought he was going to die from it, but he didn't. The Lord healed him, and the Lord lifted him up. And now as a result of that, what's David doing? Oh, he's exalting God. He's praising him, and in this particular, this is the psalm that he wrote as a result of that. Let's talk a little bit about healing, just a little bit. Of course, this is a message in and of itself, so I'm not going to go in any kind of detail. Does God heal today? He sure does heal. He sure does heal. He does so through a variety of means, I believe. Do you believe God heals through medicine? Absolutely he does. Who do you think give the knowledge of medicine? He's the one that gives knowledge and of different medications, and he's the one that gives doctors the knowledge for ability to do surgeries and all these things. All of these things come from God, and he means for us to use those things. I believe God's healed a lot of our people through the means of medicine and doctors. Back there, as I look around us, I look back there at Neely, and I tell you what, Neely could use Psalms 30 because he's been healed. Neely had heart trouble and worked on his heart. Could have had a major heart attack, but didn't. Could have been, but didn't. Lord preserved his life. Preserved his life, and then he had prostate cancer. And that worked out just fine. He goes every 6 months, and his you know how you get your blood count that shows it's under one usually, ain't it, Neely? I mean, the Lord has raised him up. And I want to tell you one thing: he ain't never forgot it. And he'll tell you about it every day of his life, and I hope he continues to be that way. And the Lord brought him down here, him and Aunt Carol, and it's been a blessing, hasn't it? So the Lord done that. And see, Neely, you know what David feels like here. He's exalting, he's lifting God up because he's healed. Jim Phillips, same way. I ain't never heard anybody have as many clogged veins as he had in his heart. And the Lord raised him up. And he's sitting back here today with his Bible and his glasses on, his pen in his hand. That could have been different. That could have been a lot different. And the Lord used that and brought him back to his house, and he's actively serving the Lord. Could have happened several times to Jim Dive. He's still sitting back here just as cantankerous and mean as ever, ain't he? Maybe they just see him back there, brother. It could have been bad for him several times. I'm glad he's still back there. I'm glad he's still back there. But I think the Lord done all that. I really do think the Lord does every bit of that. And many of you also has been in times where you've been sick, and Lord, just you could have died, but you know the Lord said, not time. Other things, and he raises you up and brings you back to God's house. So he does work through the means of medicine. I think the Lord heals through prayer. I think he'll still use prayer to heal his people. And I think it's fitting that God's people pray for the sick. And that's one of the things I wanted to do more of this year, us as a church praying. I don't know. We don't want nobody to know we're sick, but how are we supposed to pray if we don't know you're sick? Church needs to pray, and I think there's something powerful when a united church prays for people together. I think there's something powerful, and so the Lord often heals through prayer. Prayer in accordance to His will. Prayer in accordance to His will, what the Lord's will to be done, and we often know that the Lord's will is what is best anyway. I think he does do that. Now, as far as healing with as far as a man possessing the ability to heal, look up here real fast. I don't think there's a man walking the planet can touch you and heal you today. I think he does it through prayer. Now you say, Jeff, why do you, that's the most close-minded thing I ever heard. Well, I think he used those gifts. I think Simon Peter had that gift. I think the Apostle Paul had, I think the apostles had those gifts. And that accredited them as being men of God. So he used those miracles, signs, and wonders to accredit. Let's turn, I don't want to get off on this. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is. I can find it. If not, Jeremy Shamlin will know it. He knows everything in Hebrews, he told me. I don't want to get off the subject, but I'm edging that way, ain't I? Notice what it says in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God bearing them witness, both with what? Signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. So the apostles had the ability to do some tremendous things. You can read in the book of Acts where they would lay people alongside the road so Peter's shadow would come over them. they had some tremendous power given to them by the Lord. Now, what did that do? That accredited them that they were from God. He'd given them the ability to do that. Now, when this book was completed, this is how men are accredited today. Now, let me give you a warning. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that in the last days, many would come in his name and they would do great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they would deceive God's very elect. You want to know one of the main ways that false prophets today use to deceive people? They use healing. They use that to draw a crowd. And folks, I'm going to try not to get irritated, but it is a mockery what they do to people. They're just like a bunch of buzzards. They prey on the weak and the sick and the elderly. And that's not what they did in the Bible. Jesus gave his apostles the ability to heal. You know what he told them, folks? You can look it up. He said, freely I give you this gift. Freely you have received, you freely give it. They didn't charge for it. They didn't say, you send me $100 out of your need and you'll get your miracle. And that's what they do today. That's what every one of them does. And it kills my soul. I watched a thing on, and I had the tape. I had the tape, and I'd show it to you. And they show, I'm going to name his name. It's Benny Hinn, Benny Quack. And I'm going to tell you what they do. They go hours. That looks like an open invitation for people to come on stage. That's not an open invitation for people to come on stage. Those people are interviewed during the day. And only who they approve comes on stage. But what broke my heart, it showed you the multitude of sick people there that wanted to come up there, and they said, no, you ain't got enough faith. Send them away. And just who they approve comes up there. Finally, the researchers or the news people that were investigating it picked one young man that had a very bad disease. And finally, because they were on him so bad, they brought him up on stage and he touched him and said he's healed after they emptied their bank account and gave to him. And the boy died a month later. Folks, that's what goes on. They don't have the gift the apostles had because they don't do it the same way, the same reason. It's wrong, folks, and it deceives people. It draws a crowd, and it's made them rich. Folks, that's not what Simon Peter did. And that's not what the Apostle Paul or none of the apostles did. What they're doing is an abomination. It's wrong. It irritates me to the core. God still does it through prayer, though. He'll still touch through prayer. He can take sicknesses that are impossible with doctors and medicine and still touch today. Still touch. We sometimes forget that, but he still can do that. Now here's the difference. Is it always God's will to heal? And what it is, folks, is they base it on the atonement. And they go, well, Jesus died for all your... Well, they really don't believe that either. But Jesus died for all your sins. So when you receive the atonement, when you receive forgiveness of your sins, he not only cancels out your sin, but he also cancels out all the effects of sin. And one of those effects of sin is what? Sickness. So they teach then that you can claim healing. Listen, folks, here's what it said. They would call me a poverty preacher. Okay? So what they say is you can claim healing. You can claim it 100% of the time. It's always God's will. It's always God's will for you to be healed. Based on the blood. That's what they say. That sounds wonderful. Guys, but that's not true. If that was true, you'd never die. You'd never die. God doesn't promise you in this life you'll never get sick, or does he promise you'll never die? We do realize that there's going to come a day when we'll get a what? We're going to get a new body. New body. And that new body's not going to have any sin in it, and there won't be no sorrow there, there won't be no sickness there, there won't be no death there. But folks, that's not on this side. That's not on this side of Jordan. It really is not. So it's sad. Jesus does forgive us for all of our sins. But the full benefits of the atonement comes when we get our new body. That's when we can honestly say, we're still aging, aren't we? Isn't that effect of sin too? They're still getting old. And you know something else? Their preachers still die of sickness too. So it's a deceiving way that they've done things. God still heals through prayer. Is it always His will to heal? No. No, I wish I could say it was, but it's not. And if the Lord's will sometimes is to just supply grace to hold up through it. Amen. It's always His will to give grace. And you pray and you trust the Lord and you ask Him for grace. And that's what His people are supposed to do. That's the way I understand healing as far as what the Scripture is concerned. And I think that's what it is. I think we need to continue to pray. That's why we have a prayer list, is so that we can pray for our people that are sick. Can I promise you'll be healed? Boy, no, I can't. Can't promise you that. But I can promise you we'll pray. And I can promise you that God will always do what is best. All right, back to Psalms 30. God heals through medicine, and God heals how else? Through prayer. Does men have the same gifts the apostles had? No. They don't even know we're doing the same thing. They don't even compare. If you compare the two, it doesn't. Not the same thing. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Now he asked them to sing. Can I point one thing out before I move on? You see the word grave in verse 3? That's the Hebrew word sheol. Sheol. Okay? We've seen it in Psalm 16:10. Psalm 16:10, in a prophecy about Jesus that said, thou wilt not leave my soul in sheol. The same thing. Same Hebrew word. And that word means the unseen state. You go to Acts chapter 2, it says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. A lot of people say that Jesus went to hell, and he did not go to hell. He went to Hades, though. Hades and Sheol is the same state. It's the unseen state. That means Jesus died. His spirit left his body. Now, where did Jesus' spirit go the day that he died? Does anybody know? This day, he told the thief, thou shalt be with me in what went to paradise? His spirit did. You don't see that. That's why it says it's in Sheol, Koi. It's in Hades. You don't see it. It's unseen. Then when you get a body, at the resurrection, it's back in the seen state. So when Jesus said his spirit wasn't left in the unseen state, what happened after 3 days? What happened to Christ? He rose again. He had a body. He's back in the seen state again. Okay? Our loved ones that has passed, that knows Christ, their spirits is with Christ. They're with Him. They're in the unseen state. They're in Sheol. They're in Hades. They're in the unseen state. Okay? And one of these days, they're going to get a what? They'll get a new body. And that will be at the second coming of Christ. Okay? That was all free. I thought I'd share it with you. But I want you to notice what that word meant. Verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Do what? Now David not only is rejoicing, but now he's asking other saints to join in and sing with him and rejoice with him. You know, it's fun to rejoice by yourself, but it's a whole lot more fun when other people rejoice with you. I like when people call and they'll call and they'll share me a praise report, I like to call them. Something the Lord's done for them, they'll call and they'll tell me about it. And then they'll say, I just want you to be able to rejoice with me. Instead of just one saint giving up praise, you got two. It's even better when you got a whole congregation that are singing praises. Now, you'll notice God's people are called by that what name there in verse 4? They're called saints. Everybody see the word saints? We done a broadcast on that. You're a saint while you're living. A saint's just another name for a child of God. Y'all sitting back there in the congregation tonight, if you trust in the blood, you know what you are. You're a saint. That's what you're made in Christ. You have to become a saint while you're living, though. No one ever becomes a saint after they're dead. You have to become a saint while you're living. That's by trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what you're made in Christ. Verse 5. His anger endureth but a moment. Aren't you glad? The idea that his anger, he don't hold his anger forever. If you're not careful, you'll hold anger. I can hold it. You can get a hold of it, and somebody can get down in your crawl there, and you can hold that anger forever. I can hold it probably longer than anybody on the planet if I ain't careful. And you know what that anger will grow into? Does anybody know? It'll grow into bitterness. And bitterness is one of the number one destroyers of Christians. It's bitterness. You get bitter, and that just eats into a crawl. It'll eat you alive. Bitterness will literally eat you alive if you're not careful. But God's not that way. God's merciful. That's the idea. He don't hold his anger forever. He's merciful. Just for a moment, he's merciful to his people. He remembers that we're dust. Aren't you glad? And he pities us. And he don't hold his anger forever. Coy, he don't do that. In his favor is life. In his favor is life. What's one of the meanings of grace? Unmerited what? Favor. And that's life. He bestowed his favor on you. Not because you deserved it either. It was all because of his grace. And because he did, what do you have? You have life. So his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Suffering for God's people, folks, is always temporary. Don't last forever. It's always, aren't you glad? May happen for a while, but it's not going to last forever. There's joy coming in the morning. Hey, I don't know if I hate to tell you this. I use this text all the time in doing funerals. I use that verse of Scripture. Because that's when people are really grieving hard over their loved ones. And weeping, but when the loved one's saved, you know, you're weeping now, but there's going to come a day that you're going to see them again, and that weeping's gone. That mourning will be turned into rejoicing. You know, used to be an old song we sung here at the church years ago out of the old green book. And it was entitled, I'll Meet You in the Morning. You ever heard that song? I'll Meet You in the Morning. And there'll be a day, talking about the day when Jesus comes again, when we're all with him. And we'll meet all of our loved ones then. Our joy will be turned into, our mourning will be turned into joy. So, all suffering for God's people is temporary. And joy's coming. There's been many times that I've told people, I say, hey, I know it seems like there's no joy right now. You ever feel like that? There's none. The Lord's going to bring you joy here. Just hang in there. The Lord will bring you joy. See, it's all temporary. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's always temporary. He'll give you a fresh supply of joy. Verse 6, and in my prosperity, or prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And I think now David's beginning. In verses 1 through 5, he's talking about how the Lord had healed him and how the Lord had lifted him up. Okay? Talked about how the Lord had given him joy. That's why he's rejoicing so much. But now in verse 6, he's describing the way he was before all this happened. He's describing the way he was before this happened. And I think that he probably had got a little bit uplifted in pride, because it says in verse 6, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. I'll never be shaken is the idea of not be moved. And it said, in my prosperity. Of course, David was a king. He had plenty of money. He had nice home. He had anything you'd want. He said, in my prosperity, as I looked around, he had health. He had wealth. He had all these things in his prosperity. And he looked at his life and he thought within himself, I ain't never going to be moved. I'm secure. I got it made the rest of my life. Folks, that can be gone in one instant. All of it. Riches, wealth, health can be gone that quick. You got to recognize whenever you have it, God's the one that gives it to you. Everything you have, everything you possess, everything you are is because God gave it to you. There was a warning given to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy 8. Let's flip back there real fast. I would like to get done with this psalm. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Many times people have a tendency to forget the Lord in prosperity. Hate to say it, but the United States is a living example of that. Lord has prospered. You know who's made the United States great? God did. And now that we've been so prosperous, we're turning our back on him. Talk about biting the hand that feeds you. Wanting to throw him out of everything and not wanting to recognize. He's the one that made us what we are. He's the one that made us. We talk about our prosperity. And in our prosperity, we get like that. We're not going to be moved. It's almost scary to look at the news, isn't it? Hurricanes, fires now, burning. I just walked by the television going in to get my Bible, and there's now a fires out west and done burn 1 million acres. Just got through tornadoes. Just one catastrophe after another happened in our land. Now, we know the devil's doing all that. Who controls the weather? The Lord does. Folks, I don't think he's pleased with what's going on in our land. And that should get everybody's attention. That could happen anywhere. But I think he's wanting to get folks in our prosperity. We've forgotten about him. Notice what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 10, and when thou hast eaten and are full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Verse 12, lest thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, see prosperity. And when thy herds and thy flocks and multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Verse 17, and thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Well, I think David in his prosperity thought that he was set from then on. Get to looking, thinking all that come from your own hand. And then David got sick. And he seen how fragile his life really was. Well, I meet people all the time. Boy, Jeff's life's good. Got a good job. Got a new home. They tell you about the nice car they're working on and tell you about a deer they killed and all these different kinds of things. How life's good. And in the same breath, there's absolutely nothing they have to say about God. Nothing about His kingdom, nothing about God whatsoever. And guys, listen here. That could be going that fast. The only thing you really have that is guaranteed and that lasts is your God and your spiritual blessings. All of these things that our prosperity can be going in. Look at Job. Can be going one day. Same thing could happen to you. But God is really the only guarantee you have. Your salvation. Your home in heaven. Him with you. Never leaving nor forsaking you. All these things. Is the only thing you can really count on. Told you before, I hate change. I despise change. I like for things to stay just like they are. I hate it. I still do. I've told you I'd like to keep my boys. They're still getting older on me. And that's a blessing in and of itself, though, is it not? But we like to keep them little. We like to keep them small. We don't want change. We like to keep mom and dad right there at Polka. We don't want nothing to ever change. Only really one. Our life is filled with things that change. Change shakes us up. Only one thing will never change. And that's my God. And the spiritual things that I have in my God, you can always count on. You can take everything you got, but you can't take that away. Praise the Lord. All right, let's move on. So David, I believe he got uplifted in pride, and then it was all swept away in one day. He got this sickness, and he was ready to die. Verse 7, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And I think the idea of that was that he felt that his life was as stable as a mountain. I think that's the meaning of it. He was unmovable. You get blowed up in pride and think you've arrived, God can show you that you haven't. And show you really how dependent you are upon Him. All right? Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. God had withdrawn His blessings from David, or His to withdraw His face. It carries the idea of withdrawing His blessings from him. He withdrew His blessings from him. Then what did David do? I cried and said he was troubled in verse 7. It terrified him whenever this happened. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and to the Lord I made my supplication. Verses 9, 10, 11, let's read them. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? That's the grave. That means die. It's not hell. Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. So what is David doing? Man, whenever his prosperity fell through and he got this sickness, man, it moved him to do what? Man, he cried out to God. And that's what we're supposed to do. You go to the King. He poured out his soul to the Lord. Now, verses in the Psalms is used by the soul sleep people, and this is one of the verses that is. And because David says, shall the dust praise thee? What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? And what they say is that when you die, your spirit stays in your body. And you sleep. They go to all the passages that says, that talks about when you die, you're asleep. And they say the soul sleeps. And they'll go to these Psalms, just like this. It says, look here, if his spirit went to heaven, he could continue to praise God. So here he's saying, if I go to the dust, I can't do that anymore. Well, he can't do that anymore in the land of the living. When you look, if I would die and you'd bring my dead body up here, I wouldn't be preaching or praising in this life anymore. That's what it's referring to. The New Testament, guys, to use a Walter term, makes it crystal clear that the soul goes to be with the Lord at the moment someone dies. He told the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Whenever Stephen died in the book of Acts chapter 7, He said, Lord, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. So that we realize the spirit goes to be with the Lord. But you just have to overlook those texts. They go back to these texts and say, see there, he's talking about in the land of the living. You know, the time to praise the Lord and serve the Lord is while you're living. It's turned a little too late after you're dead. Want to take advantage of every day you got, Denver, every day you got. It's sad when you talk to someone, they're on a deathbed, and they say, oh, Jeff, I wish I would have done this, that more for the Lord. I wish I could go to God's house now. Wish I could do those things. I had so many opportunities to worship the Lord. I had so many opportunities to be in his house, and I didn't do it. I wished I had that again. Take advantage of the time. Take advantage of the time you got. And don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Well, verse 11 and 12 is finished. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Lord, healed him. Raised him up. Lifted him up. Give him joy. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Has the Lord ever done that for you? Has he ever give you gladness in the midst of a storm? Man, I've seen the Lord. I've seen people in the middle of storms while the storm was still raging, and they still put off mourning and were glad. That's amazing to me. You ever seen anybody do that? Hate them. Well, I don't. He's used to it now. Steve Ruby is remarkable to me. Amen. I'm glad he brought him here and Sister Kim. Amen. That's just a blessing. He's had his sickness 3 years, going on 3 years. Talk to him and see how sad he is. That's God's grace. That's amazing to me. God's able to do that for you too. God's able to use that. He's using his sickness, Brother Coy, for the glory of God. I like that. Isn't that something to see? Sometimes he just gives you that grace or that joy right in the midst of it. Verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. King Hezekiah, whenever he was healed of his sickness, said, I will sing praises unto you in the house of God all the days of my life. So he said. How much do we praise him, folks? How much do we give him thanks? How much do we extol him and lift him up? Many times we don't have no time spending that whatsoever. I think we need to praise him more during the day, during the morning. Tell the king good morning, first thing. Good morning, Master. Thank you for another day to live. Think about him all the day long. Thank him for saving your soul, giving you a home in heaven. Thank him for everything. Thank him for the things you still have. Thank him for the things you still have. Don't complain about what you don't have. Let's all stand. All right. I hope you enjoyed Psalms 30. I hope you might have come in mourning, but I hope you leave. Well, you can leave dancing if you like. Remember,